Hi, top commenters. If you're loving the podcast and listening to us unpick what's popping up on your social media feeds, then we would love to see you in person. We are going to be recording the podcast live at Crossed Wires Festival in Sheffield. It's going to be on Friday, the 3rd of July, and you can sign up for free tickets at crosswires.live/fringe.
So, Mariana, today on Top Comment, we are going to talk about, first of all, this viral photograph that appears to depict Donald Trump on the lawn of the White House, standing next to three sort of vampiric, freakishly tall figures with long blonde hair, pale skin, and red coats, and whether this photograph is evidence of the existence of a mythical realm known as Agartha. If you don't know what that is, you will by the end of the podcast.
You will. It's the kind of image that pops up and poses the age-old question of, is it AI, isn't it? And what the hell is
the
any of this about?
The age-old question that only existed
the 2026 question.
Years ago.
We solved the mystery of Trump posing with aliens at the White House that went viral. So who are these people in these uniforms? He put it up during the opening ceremonies and immediately took it down. This is just Trump trying to prepare us for more disclosure and to possibly meet aliens in our future.
We've been doing some digging into these images and where they've come from and why people are sharing them. And they have spawned a whole range of conspiracy theories, one of which is that Donald Trump had somehow met with the Norwegian King's Guard, which if you Google them, they do not look like these people.
Well, they don't wear red. They wear black.
Yeah, and they also don't look like sort of extraterrestrial beings.
Yeah, exactly.
That one's out. We're not just going to be doing Agartha and the conspiracy content and some of the toxicity around that. We're also going to be talking about some toxicity on BookTok. Matt loves BookTok.
I've made a foray into BookTok for this podcast, and I didn't like what I saw.
Some people love it, though, and that is in part why it inspired such a strong reaction to one creator deciding to trademark this term, hot girls read, and we're going to get into that. Do you frequent BookTok then? No, not really.
No, I made a foray into it for this episode, and I kind of hated it. Like, it was just like, I saw this one guy, he was recommending a book, and he was like, this book is going to make you want to go straight to Paris, have oysters, drink wine, like, sit at a cafe, scribble in your notebook, and, like, drink a black coffee. It's like, there was no talk of, like, the book itself. It was all the aesthetic around the book.
So BookTok is what we would consider like one side of TikTok, right? Like, I feel like when TikTok came into existence during the pandemic or became really popular during the pandemic here in the UK, people would often talk about like, what side of TikTok are you on? And BookTok has so often been cited as like one of the positive things about TikTok. But e.g. because if you want to find something to read and yeah. there is a particular creator or influencer who likes similar books to you, it's quite useful when someone's like, if you enjoyed this book, you might like this book, and this book. And I guess because it's coming from an influencer, it can feel authentic, like they've actually read the books. It's a bit more personal, right?
I even saw someone recommending having a cute outfit to read in on BookTok. I mean, I think...
Well, it's a whole aesthetic as well.
It seems like an aesthetic culture. It seems like what these people are displaying as a love of books could more accurately be described as a kind of like an American fetishization of like Parisian cafe culture.
Yeah, I think there's like a performative section of BookTok. I would also say there's like an uber nerdy version of BookTok as well,
right.
Which is like people who are obsessed with reading with a capital O, who are like properly into it and have kind of like found their niche and area because they're like, great,
yeah.
I love reading and I want to tell everyone about it. Interesting.
And that's good, by the way.
Yeah, that's good. Exactly.
If it's making more young people read things, that's good.
Yeah, exactly. Particularly because young people are worried they might have to just stare at walls from now on. At least they can read, but they can't get their recommendations on TikTok. It's also a hugely valuable corner of the site, right? Because if you are like selling books, you're an author, you're a publisher, what have you, if you can get on BookTok, like the reach and influence you can have, like we're talking millions and millions of views here. And there are some books that appear to have kind of very specifically blown up on TikTok. Take, for example, It Ends With Us. I mean, that's obviously got some quite difficult topics in it as a book, but these kind of like romance novels and books as well that have been romanticized, for want of a better
word. And it's not just new debut novels that it's helping blow up. It's also
like old stuff.
Classics. It's bringing back classics as well.
And also, I guess, because people are giving strong opinions, often they'll be critiquing books, they'll be talking about what they love or what they hate.
Or crying as a result of finishing a book is a big genre.
Yeah, yeah. Or like this changed my life, this book, basically. Yeah. It was transformative because it inspires a strong emotional reaction, which to some extent explains why it's such a popular corner of TikTok. It means that it also inspires a bit of a ding-dong between creators sometimes.
Yeah, and now it has become a necessary and integral part of the literary marketing world, right? Is getting your book on BookTok.
Yeah, yeah. And actually, it's a good example of where all publicity is not necessarily good publicity, because these creators build these kind of like mini empires of followers around them who really trust what they say. If they tell you a book is rubbish and you've agreed with everything else that, you know, they've recommended to you, and you think, I really like their stuff, you'll probably follow their lead. So it can be sort of like quite detrimental in that sense. And I think it's worth noting that kind of micro influencer culture that exists around BookTok, because that helps us to understand the controversy we're talking about today, which involves this creator called Ali Rose Co. And she is someone who's been incredibly popular on BookTok, but with a very niche audience, if that's the right word, like a very committed but small audience. Like a lot of people listening probably haven't heard of her. And she's not been having a good week, a cult following, exactly, because she's tried to trademark this phrase, hot girls read. And when I talk about a small following here, we're talking about, you know, we're not talking tiny, we're talking hundreds of thousands of followers, which in influencer land is still sort of in the micro influencer territory. But obviously to the average person is still a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. So this BookTok influencer trademarked the phrase hot girls read for its use on what, like t-shirts and notebooks and...
Yeah, so the issue is that it's actually a phrase that has become pretty sort of prevalent on BookTok. People use it a lot. I mean, it's like a fairly common phrase in general, and we can get a bit more into where it came from in a minute. Quite a few users have said that they've received these sort of what they class as threatening messages, e.g. like, you need to stop selling this merch. And then she herself had also posted basically telling everyone, like, I've trademarked this, so you need to stop selling this stuff that has hot girls read on it. And, you know, these are like small creators who might have like an Etsy shop or a, you know, they're selling their own merch. Obviously, that didn't go down well.
Trademarking hot girls read like you fucking created it is not only diabolical, it's absolutely fucking insane. And I've seen so many think pieces on here. I literally just watched a video where somebody's like, maybe it's a good thing. No, the fuck, it's not a good thing. Let's not try to make this into something it's fucking not. Hot girls read, before that bitch started her business, was already popping.
What do you actually mean that you are selling unlicensed merch and you have the fucking audacity to trademark something? You have got to be kidding me.
By now we've all heard about the girl who has somehow managed to trademark the phrase hot girls read, right? How batshit bonkers that is aside, I was so curious. What did you trademark the phrase for? So I go to her website. The stuff she's selling is genuinely so offensively boring that I have to wonder why she even bothered with the trademark in the first place.
A lot of people were really upset because they were like, hold on a second. Like, the whole thing about BookTok is we're all in it together. That's so, not the vibe that this gave.
Right, because legally she's allowed to trademark. You don't have to be the first person to have said something to trademark it. If she's selling merchandise with hot girls reading on it, she just needs to be the first one to trademark it.
Yeah, and that's the issue, because people were like, you didn't come up with this. It's not like, you know, there are some people...
But it's not a legal thing for them.
Yeah, well, it's really interesting. Like, I feel like this happens quite a lot, doesn't it, on social media in general. Look, for example, at Patrick Tarr. You might have heard of him. He's a massive makeup influencer. He often does, like, other influencers' makeup or celebrity makeup, etc. And, you know, launches products on social media, is very sort of social media first and savvy. And he's actually had to come out and apologize after he tried to copyright this phrase, transition blush, which was a product line, which is inspired by this widely used technique that other makeup influencers have posted about. And one in particular, and people were upset because they were like, hang on a second, this other influencer coined this term. That's not fair to kind of take it away from her. Like, there are some phrases that become hugely associated with particular influencers. I can think, for example, of one influencer who does these like really interesting debriefs about Love Island on TikTok, the reality TV show. She'll be like, let's get into it. And that phrase has become sort of synonymous with her. Like, it's like her phrase. The controversy here is that this phrase is so prevalent. It's a phrase that lots of different people have used and spoken about, even though she's used it a lot.
So their criticism and their fury over her trademarking hot girls read comes from the notion that actually their community
owns their community,
and she's not being a good member of the supposed community by trademarking this. But also, lots of BookTok influencers are selling merchandise. Lots of them are essentially small business owners. So there's some tension between the idea of this book talk being a kind of community of creators who are all in it together for their love of books, or a network of small businesses who are competing for sales
yeah.
on merchandise.
Yeah. And ultimately also book talk thrives because big book.
Big book relies on it for marketing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that also is in part sort of funding the influencers, and you can see how influencers want to kind of take a bit of ownership of that, because otherwise their content is effectively being monetized by the publishers, but they might not be being paid to be involved with that.
Right.
To get more answers about what has been going on with the scandal on BookTok, we did speak to a BookTok creator called Chloe Palmieri. She sent us some voice notes, and this was her explanation of why the whole trademark thing has caused such aggro on BookTok.
This trademark caused so much outrage among BookTok users because Ali didn't come up with the phrase at all. Her decision impacted hundreds, if not thousands, of small businesses. And so many shops were going to just lose out on money and lose out on stock. She trademarked a phrase that everyone uses, which just ultimately felt really unfair. And I think the way she went about it, she was telling everyone, like, hey, if you're a small business, take this down because I own it now. But she gained a lot of her popularity selling unlicensed book merch. So it just felt very ironic and surprising that she did this at all.
As I mentioned, BookTok is kind of known for people getting in quite heated debates with one another. I think, like, ostensibly, if you've never heard of it, you think it might be quite like wholesome and cutesy and let's have a cup of tea and talk about a book. Whereas a lot of it is people very strongly expressing their opinions. Mm. And on this issue, Chloe actually says that BookTok have been pretty united in saying, hold up, this flies in the face of what we're comfortable with as a community, inverted commas.
BookTok really united on this issue in a way that I haven't seen before. People were immediately signing petitions, raising money, trying to figure out how to get this trademark overturned and canceled. And within a few days, the official paperwork to challenge the trademark had been sent in. And Ali had also posted for any Hot Girls Read merch listings to be taken down by a certain date. So in turn, people were creating videos, sharing posts about where to go buy it so that everyone could go support these small businesses before they just turned into dead stock and lost money. Everyone really banded together. But BookTok usually is not unified. I mean, people have very toxic and controversial opinions. People have been very severely bullied and personally attacked for saying they read over 100 books in a year. I mean, just like very outlandish things.
Right, because this is the other thing about BookTok, because there's a performative element, which is a competitive element of how many books have I read this year.
Yeah, and like reading quickly and being like...
And
like
showing off your book.
Competing too, right? on... Yeah, showing off your bookshelves.
Color-coded
the aesthetic
bookshelves.
Of the books, yeah. Okay, let's get a little bit into the origins of Hot Girl and Hot Girls Read. We were joking about Hot Girls that Austin, who Austin?
Open Source Intelligence.
Open Source Intelligence, yeah. We could maybe trademark that on Top Comment.
It has a community of like one or two people, of which you are one of the 50% of that, basically.
In fact, it's a very small pool of people. Anyways, it all kind of comes back to Hot Girl Summer. You may remember 2019, Megan Thee Stallion,
yeah.
And that single Hot Girl Summer kind of inspired the whole like hot girl everything. There's all sorts of hot girls do whatever, but Hot Girl Reading Club was, well, one Instagram account that was launched in February of 2020, so just after that. So, you know, this phrase predates Ali Rose Co. talking about it, and she only seemed to start selling this merchandise in 2023. I mean, if we're saying that Hot Girl Summer is a Megan Thee Stallion thing, then another argument that's been made by some people on BookTok is, oh, hang on a second, is this a white woman who's essentially trademarking a phrase that actually belonged to black women before that, and is that problematic in some way? So there's many layers to this hot girl analysis.
Yeah, which may seem ridiculous as an isolated allegation, but like a lot of internet slang that has been adopted by white people did just start as basically black internet slang. Like clock it, yeah. Period.
Yeah, exactly. And it can be actually quite hard to, even in this case, like trace back the original origin. Like often it can kind of have like different influencers who use it at a time, popularize it, which is why the trademark thing feels very...
Vulture-like.
Yeah. And it just feels like there's a really serious tension between a trademark and then like the way that social media works and the way language on social media works. Obviously, all of this has been pointed out to Ali Rose Co., who then decided to post an apology video where she promised to withdraw the trademark and redirect the profits from the Hot Girls Read merchandise to charity.
Hi, I want to talk about my trademark. First and foremost, the trademark is being surrendered. It is in the process of being filed right now to be abandoned. But more importantly, I want to say I'm so sorry to every small business that I harmed in doing this. The decision was made more as like a business strategy decision than a human being decision. And I take full accountability for that. That was entirely wrong on my end. I hear you and I take that on the chin 100%. I want to clear up within the last week, I've seen a lot of screenshots and messages from people saying that I sent them a cease and desist or I sent them a message on Etsy to remove any Hot Girls Read items. I want to say none of those came from me.
I mean, some apology videos go down quite well if people feel like they're genuine and authentic. This one has had quite a mixed response. There are a lot of people that are really annoyed and feel like it's a cynical move and that she didn't have a choice and that ultimately a lot of her audience, who she relies on to create the kind of content she makes, had turned on her. And she, so she basically had to come out and say, I'm going to reverse the trademark and I'm going to give the money to charity and so on and so forth. Someone who reacted quite positively to the video was the BookTok influencer who we were chatting about before, Chloe Palmieri. And this is what she had to say about the apology and feeling like some of the trolling has gone a bit far.
The personal attacks that Allie's received over all of this are definitely way too far. People are so quick to jump on someone and rip apart anything and everything about them without any consideration that there's a real person reading all of this. It's totally fine for people to be upset about all of this, but threatening her, going after her looks, trying to leak her address, it's just way too over the top. And then regarding her apology video, I definitely respect her for putting it out. She took accountability. She said it was a bad business decision, but I do think she took way too long to address any of it.
I think this is where we're getting to this like post-authenticity era of social media, which is what made BookTok good originally, was it was people a bit like the average person just sitting in their bedroom being like, by the way, I really liked reading this. Mm. As it becomes something that publishers and authors themselves and agents look to capitalize on, its authenticity has started to wane to some extent. And that authenticity problem is the issue that I think so many of the BookTokers who were upset about this to them represented BookTok becoming more capitalist. Ultimately, the lesson this teaches everyone, but I guess particularly the influencer at its center, Ali Rose Co., is that when you build a platform on authenticity, when you build a platform that's about being genuine and part of a community and whatever, your personality and who you are is the brand. And so any decision you make will reflect on how your following perceive you, and they care about how they perceive you as a person, not just as someone selling them books. They care about you as someone whose opinion they trust, whose expertise they respect. And the minute that you undermine that in any way, it's kind of a bit irreversible. If people stop liking them, they stop being able to have the level of influence that they had.
Any cultural brand that exists in the cultural sphere and has an audience that they must monetize in order to turn any kind of profit is constantly struggling with where the line is on how much bullshit they can market to their audience and get away with it while still retaining authenticity. That is literally what people are paid six-figure salaries to figure out.